We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Bruins game summaries for the week of March 13 to 19. What a week it was. This is Josh Liu, and we'll get right to it. The Bruins were in an NCAA tournament for their 51st time ever, and now for their 36th time ever, they're going to a Sweet 16. This is going to be fun. They're going off to Philly now. And how did it happen? Well, it wasn't easy. Akron, the 13 seed, was first up against the 4 seed Bruins in Portland. They're doing that Portland to Philly thing. And I think of Bill Walton with the Portland Trail Blazers way back in 1977 when his Blazers beat the Sixers. We won't get into all of that. Let's just go. Let's go courtside. The Akron game was tough. What a really good 13 seed they were. Tracy Murray and I, after the game, were on it.
In Rip City, it was almost Zip City here for the Akron team. They kind of deserved to win this game, quite honestly, Tracy. Yes. They played lights out and just let it slip away at the end. The Bruins will not say anything other than thank you for kind of letting up on the throttle down the stretch. The Bruins found a way with a 13-2 run after they had fallen behind with 6 minutes to go, 49-42. They went on a 13-2 run after that. And by the way, I got to get this in, because Rip City, the term was coined by the Blazers play-by-play announcer, the legendary Bill Shonley, during a game against the Lakers back in 1971, the Blazers' first season. That was before the three-point field goal. And a little guard named Jim Barnett took an ill-advised long-distance shot that went in, gave the expansion team hope for a win against those powerful early 70s Lakers. And so excited was Bill Shonley, he exclaimed from out of nowhere, "Rip City, baby!" And that became kind of a thing for a very long time. And now this city is known as Rip City. I bring all that up because Tiger Campbell, Jim Barnetted one in when the Bruins needed him to. About a 28-footer with the shot clock winding down. And we didn't say it at the time, but bingo, bango, bongo, like Sean's used to say, right? I mean, he needed to Tiger Campbell to hit that shot. It helped the Bruins pull away.
Sean's called a lot of my games, and I love that guy, man. And
he's 92 now.
Yeah, man. I'm just happy to hear his name. It brings a smile to my face and brings back a lot of good memories of talking with him and been doing interviews with him after games, before games, specials and stuff like that. But the Bruins really dodged a bullet. If you've seen The Matrix and you've seen Keanu Reeves do that famous thing where he's dodging all those bullets, that's what happened with the Bruins today.
Well, and full marks again have to be granted to Akron. But until Tiger Campbell took over, with that 8-0 run of his own down the stretch. And maybe it's appropriate here in this building. He went all Dame Lillard just for a moment as he buried his deepest three of the entire season. The score at that point was 52-51 UCLA. That three-point dagger gave him that cushion of 55-51.
Well, that three-point dagger helped offensively. But the Bruins finally played some defense within the last 3-4 minutes of this game. They finally started getting some stops. And I think that switching with Castaneda and Cody Riley, you put Jalen Clark in the game, and he started getting over those screens where Cody Riley didn't have to switch off on him.
Akron, in fact, Tracy, to your point, hit just one of its last 7 shots, and that was what the Bruins absolutely needed. Mm-hmm. I'm still completely stunned that points in the paint tonight were 26-10 for a much smaller Akron team. I know you've talked about doubling the post, and I get it, but 2 points in the paint the entire second half. They had 2 points in the paint from their bigs the entire game, and that was on a jump shot from Cody Riley. I will give Cody credit, though, on a night where Miles Johnson was inexplicably invisible. Cody Riley had the defensive play of the night with a block shot, right, as Akron was trying to get down there and tie.
Yes, he had the block of the night. He had 8 rebounds. He did contribute in this game. It's just the Bruins just, they dodged the bullet, man. There's so many things that went wrong this game, and it was like snatching the candy out of the baby's hand, and that's what they did to win this basketball
game. Almost feel a little guilty, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
Because Akron, which had never won a tournament game, played good enough defense, in fact, great enough defense to win this thing. The Bruins were shooting 30% for the night until those last few minutes. In fact, from distance, they had been, 5 out of 18, but then they were 3 for their last 4. At the free throw line, they went 11 out of 13. So they were hitting shots when they needed to, but I'm telling you, for 35 minutes of this game, it was not great.
You win this basketball game, you feel like you cheated Akron. You feel like you called a bunch of foul calls that were phantom calls and just hit the last second shot and told them to get off the floor. They just snatched it at the end, and it was unfortunate for Akron because they put on a show for about 35-40 minutes.
Yeah, 35
minutes. The last minute it was snatched.
And the Bruins cementing it with 2 free throws from Johnny Juzang. We mentioned it at the time on his 21st birthday. I guess back on the East Coast it had crept just past his birthday officially, but here on the West Coast, the 21st birthday is still in play. He hit the 2 big free throws to cement things. The Bruins in this game went 3 for 13 on their layups, and they never dunked the ball. And that's part of why you, I guess, get only 10 points in the paint. But with that ugliness put forth, you still get a win, 57-53.
Well, I don't think the Bruins have freak athletes to where they can just go in there, fly around, and dunk basketballs. But at least power through the contact, eyes on the rim, really focus in on the layups. And another thing, when you're going through contact and you're getting bumped, you can't just lay the ball over the front of the rim. Those never go in. You got to get the ball on the glass.
Twice in the last 3 weeks in the Pacific Northwest, the Bruins get held to 25 first-half points and come back and win. They had done that against the Washington Huskies not too long ago, right at the very end of February. Now they do it to the Akron Zips as they found a way down the stretch to win this game 57-53. And we'll hear from the coach as well, Mick Cronin, able to join us for a little bit. And we always appreciate him able to take some time after a game like that. Wow. And we also want to say thank you, by the way, to the people who bring you Mick Cronin. That's our good friends at Guerrilla Marketing. They're the ones that just turned Paulie blue with those blue T-shirts, blanketing everything and everyone that last home game of the year. And the Bruins were very happy to have won that game, go on to the Pac-12 tournament from there and represent pretty well. But thanks so much to Guerrilla Marketing. They are a pleasure to work with. They're ready to take on your order no matter how big or small. Bruins, blue and gold all the way, all the time. You can hit them up at guerrillamarketing.net. Friendly, productive, talented people who love their Bruins just as much as you do. So after the survival game against Akron, let's get to Mick.
Shots to go down. Go ahead, Trace.
Well, what happened was I watched tape too on this team, and I knew this team was going to be tough coming in here.
You saw it,
yeah. Everybody,
they remind me of the Bearcats.
Yeah, everybody was talking. Yeah, no kidding. And everybody was talking about UCLA is going to blow by Akron. I said, no.
No.
No, I watch tape on these guys. They're playing their best basketball in the postseason. They're tough defensively. They attack you offensively. Castaneda is a bear to deal with.
Yes.
And what they did is they kept picking on the pick and roll and get Cody in the pick and roll, yep. And they attacked Cody.
Which is why we went small with Jalen Clark for a while.
I was about to say the Jalen Clark sub is what changed the game when he was able to get over the pick and roll, right, yeah. Where they couldn't switch.
Yeah. We tried to put Jalen on their five men and then have him switch on to Castaneda. And then when I came back with Cody because we couldn't get a rebound, we had Jalen on Castaneda because he could just fight. He fights over everything, mm-hmm. You know, to keep him on him. It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. But I'll tell you, offensively, you know, I told the guys in a game like this, it took us a long time to get used to their help. So we used Jaime as an initiator, and he had 6 assists. That was key, mm-hmm. Huge, because they overhelped. They converged on the ball. Once we adjusted to that, we started getting shots. We weren't making them early in the half. But what changed the game again was then our offensive rebounding. Mm-hmm. If we don't go get them second shots, we're done.
Yeah, right.
It's all over. If we don't go get 11 offensive rebounds, right. In a game like old Big East basketball, mm-hmm. You better not turn it over because you got to get shots off and you better go rebound.
I thought a big 5 minutes, Peyton Watson.
Oh, huge. Yeah, huge. And not just, you know, because he got a shot to go down and he's got to finish in the paint, but his length defensively. Yeah, yeah. He used his length defensively. He almost got a few offensive ones. He was in there trying to, you know. So I was telling the guy, if we don't get second shots, we're done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just one of them nights, you know. But eventually, if you keep digging in and you won't give in, which I've tried to instill in this program since the day I got here, the tide will turn for you. And what these guys have embraced is, you know, people see the way I coach and you know, toughness matters, man. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to win tough games or you're just going to be an average team and you're not going anywhere. So, I mean, we're now 6-1 in our last 7 NCAA tournament games and it took a buzzer shot to get us.
That's right.
From half court.
That's right.
It banked in, you know. But Jules, we haven't talked about.
Yes.
The shot he made in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Huge. The jab step 3-point in the corner. Huge.
But and then Tiger, the deep three. But just know, yesterday at our shoot-around here, the open.
Yes.
He worked on that shot for 10 minutes, right?
I saw it.
You know, he's put a lot of gym time in. Look, you try to coach guys to be tough and never give in. But you got to give them credit because a lot of teams
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of teams are just, you know, when a team – you know, punches you, and we can't get nothing to go down. You're going home.
I mean, for a while, they had an answer for everything.
Yeah, and it wasn't like we weren't ready. Like, I don't want, like, UCLA came out overconfident. No, we didn't.
Right.
I promise you we didn't.
Right.
Like you said, Trace, they're big guys, Freeman, Ali, and they Castaneda played unbelievable.
Oh, they're legit. Yes. No, no question.
And there's just their toughness. The way they were able to switch, we couldn't post their guards up. They just wouldn't let us.
And Dawson was grabbing offensive boards left and right.
Yeah, I don't know what happened on the last play, but I know Johnny got thrown out of bounds. He tried to box a guy out. They threw him out of bounds.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to say Cody fouled a guy, they may go watch Johnny get thrown out of bounds.
Well, so we were so thrilled for Cody to get that last block at the end. You know, you win a game, Mick, where you get outscored in the paint 26-10. I did not see that one coming, but. You know, you had 6 different players with a block shot. We were just talking about that. 5 different players with a steal. And I've never seen this. I've been doing this for a little while, but I've never seen 2 of the last 3 games, not a single opponent gets to 2 assists in a game. I think they only had 4 for the game, 4 guys with 1. USC just had the same thing happen to them. So defensively, you always talk about it, how defense leads to offense and defense wins games. You guys scored a 57-point season low tonight, and you beat a really tough team. So full marks, congratulations. Your reward is St. Mary's on Saturday. That should be a heck of a game, too.
Every game's a heck of a game.
Yep.
You know, it's an NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unless it's just you have a night where everything goes in.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to keep playing, you're going to have nights like tonight. So, great win for our guys and time to get some rest and, you know, watch film. That's it.
No El Gaucho?
Time for the Gales. I don't even know what time it is. They close at 10.
Oh, I thought you were buying. All right.
Thanks, Mick. Congratulations.
I am.
We just got to get there in 9 minutes.
No, you just didn't get the memo. I'm just kidding.
I am for everybody except Lewin. Now I get a story of my life. Thanks, Mick. Bruins do take it, even though they get that 57 on the board tonight, Tracy. 57 was enough. 57-53.
The sharpest dressed man in NCAA history.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Mick Cronin. Yeah, no, I'll give you that one. Bruins advance. It is the stereotypical survive and advance against a very upstart, tough team from the Midwest tonight. The Akron Zips go down 57-53.
All right, there you have it. There's Mick. And now on to the Saturday game. St. Mary's, the 5 seed. And a lot of people nationally thought the 5 would beat the 4 on what has been a whole bunch of upsets in this tournament already. You look at the Athletic website, they had 12 experts and 10 of them picked St. Mary's, but the Bruins did what they needed to do. Let's get you back courtside again.
UCLA to a Sweet 16 for a 35th time in school history. This one's going to be in Philadelphia. It'll be the North Carolina Tar Heels and the UCLA Bruins on a Friday night. That is going to be fun. But first things first, Tracy Murray, the Bruins had to get past Akron, then St. Mary's. Who knew that the 13 seed would be the tougher out than the 5 seed? I mean, the Bruins almost did not get past Akron. They needed a furious rally just to play in this game here tonight on a rainy Saturday night in Portland. The Bruins not only beat St. Mary's, they beat them up at the end. They won the game by 16.
I knew because I watched tape. Those guys were tough. They are the type of Akron is the type of team that UCLA has a hard time matching up with. I thought they matched up better with St. Mary's because they can contain the dribblers a little bit better and they don't have a long, stringy, live body to offensive rebound. And that's how UCLA won this basketball game.
UCLA doing it with nearly 5 players in double figures. They came up just shy because Cody Riley ended with 9, but Cody's been scoring 2 a game of late, so you'll take that. Only 2 fouls from the big man. Miles Johnson, for whatever reason, just not a factor in either game out here in Portland, but Cody stepped up. He had a very slow start to this game. He missed a layup to open things up, got scored on 3 times immediately down at the other end, but Mick Cronin stayed with him, and Cody played some of his best basketball all year, starting around the 12-minute mark left of that first half.
Well, Cody is the more experienced one when you're talking about going deep into the playoffs. So you need Cody to find his groove, and you need him to find his confidence and start making an impact on these games because he has that experience that Miles don't have.
The other guy that needs to get his swag back, we talked about it, Johnny Juzang. And at halftime, when he had only 2 points, and when he came out and missed his first 2 shots in the second half, you and I were looking at each other, Trace, like, what is going on? I mean, where has Johnny Juzang gone? Well, Johnny, all of a sudden, the light bulb went on, and Johnny Juzang had a terrific end of the game. He made 5 of his last 6 shots. He had 8 rebounds in this game to lead everybody. I mean, St. Mary's has some big guys, and the Bruins do too, but Johnny Juzang, very active defensively, 14 points, 8 rebounds, had a couple of assists. Got to shout out Tiger Campbell, of course, 16 points for Tiger, 4 assists, only 1 turnover. The kind of game he would put together routinely last March as the team went all the way into the Final 4.
Well, Johnny he ran down a lot of long rebounds, and he also grabbed a few of them in traffic. So he was letting you know that he's not a one-trick pony to where he's only thinking about scoring. He added to the game by rebounding as well.
Jules Bernard, steady, right? 14 points, 5 rebounds, and a couple of big threes when the Bruins were looking to make their pull away. A 4-assist game for Jules Bernard, a no turnover, some great defense. And speaking of great defense, I know Jalen Clark only had 1 putback bucket in 11 minutes, but the guy was a plus 12 in the plus minus, so obviously he was playing some defense.
Absolutely. He plays defense all the time. That's why he's valuable. That's why Hawkins is valuable. You got guys that can score the basketball and play defense at the same time.
Well, you mentioned Hawkins, and that's now the huge question mark kind of hovering over the team plane when it goes to Philadelphia. How's the ankle? That right ankle compromised with about 7 minutes to go in this one. Jaime had a 15-point high-energy first half, drew 5 fouls in that first half, was doing everything. When the Bruins were out of the gate slowly, Jaime was the one guy getting it done, and they're going to need him, obviously, against North Carolina and beyond.
Well, they better start working on him right now because you want him feeling the best that he can, you know, and be able to go with as much pain-free as possible with the next game.
The last five times the Bruins have played in this round of 32, Trace, they've all been wins and all double-digit wins. And this one, I know everybody, you know, that was close to it was saying, well, you know, actually the Bruins, if they just make some shots, they match up well, they might be okay. I don't know about you. I didn't see a 16-point win coming because this St. Mary's team just beat Indiana by 30.
Well, I didn't think Indiana was very good. You know, Indiana was young. You're talking about St. Mary's being a veteran team. They know how to win basketball games. They systematically break you down. You have two experienced guards who can blow by you and make plays for guys that can knock down three-point shots, and those guys did not miss.
Right.
So, you know, UCLA is going to keep the pressure on you defensively. They're going to hurry your three-point shots. They're going to pressure the guards into tough shots or tough passes or get deflections. So it's two different teams that we're talking about.
As veteran and international as St. Mary's is, you and I were talking about how they actually reminded us a bit of BYU from last year. BYU was the second tournament game last March for the Bruins. They won that one by 16. And against a team that is very similar in construct, once again, second game played in this tournament, they win a game by 16. So against a seasoned, disciplined St. Mary's team, UCLA finds a way to get it done. 36 points in the first half, 36 points in the second half. And now we can start to think about North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they just came off of a win that, you know, they thought that they were going to cakewalk it all the way to the end, and Baylor took a run back at them and forced an overtime. So, you know, their confidence might be shaken a little bit.
It was really stunning watching that game earlier today, and the Bruins coaches were watching it, the players were watching it, and maybe there's a lesson that was gleaned from all that is don't sit on a lead, right? Because a 25-point lead for North Carolina vanished, and you're right, they had to go get that game in overtime.
Well, here's another thing. Don't do something that's going to motivate the other team. Don't throw an elbow. Your best player who was hot that game gets kicked out of the game, and now you motivate the other team because now it becomes personal. You can't do things to ignite a fire under the other team.
One last thought, Tracy, before we take a break, as we talk about the Bruins playing great defense without fouling, and they only committed in this game 12 fouls. And, you know, I look at the fact that the Bruins did not have a block shot. They only had three steals in this game. But yet, it wasn't so much about defensive numbers. It was about simple, they know how to play defense. Cody Riley joins us right now, a guy that absolutely knows how to play defense. He was asked to do that in this game. And Cody, is that what you're most proud of, the job you guys did defensively on St. Mary's?
Yes, sir, most definitely. Coach tells us that we're going to have to come out and play strong defensively, especially the bigs, because we're going to be doing a lot of switching and everything. So, you know, me and Miles, we're tuned in and ready to switch and guard to the speedy guards.
Well, you're an important piece to this puzzle. And when you get going and you start scoring the basketball, good things happen for the guys on the perimeter. How do you feel about your play once you caught the ball this afternoon?
It was great. It was great to see the ball go in. It was great to get on balance and get position and get fouled, get to the free throw line. It was an amazing feeling, you know, so I'm happy to be here.
You ever been to Philadelphia before?
Nah, it'll be your first time.
You're going, baby. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
All right.
What did you see when you caught the ball, though? Because we talked.
Yeah.
So what did you do when you caught the ball? What was the things you were looking for?
Just making sure that the defensive didn't throw me off my balance, you know, staying solid on 2 feet, and then getting my eyes on the rim, you know, make sure I can finish and go through his chest, you know. And, you know, I happen to get the foul on that one, and I'm going to continue to do it.
All right. Go celebrate with your teammates. Go have a voodoo donut. We'll yes, see sir. You in Philly, my brother.
You know it, Josh.
Way
congrats.
To go.
All right, appreciate
you.
It.
All right. Cody Riley, after a slow start, Cody Riley finished real strong in this game. And of all things, now he's got to walk through the Gonzaga layup line to get back to the locker room. And maybe we'll see the Zags again. Who knows? Gonzaga's up next, play in Memphis. Of course, Cody had a big game against Gonzaga in the tournament last year in the Final Four. Don't know if we're going to see a Final Four this year, partner. That's to be written in Philadelphia. But I do know we're seeing a Sweet 16. And we're trading out voodoo donuts for cheesesteaks in pretty short order here. So bring your gastrointestinal fortitude with you to the East Coast. The Bruins go to the Sweet 16 with a 16-point victory.
All right, there you have it. And Mick Cronin able to join us, kind of sneaking him in for an interview after the game. This one-on-one presented by our good friend Artie Pernia and the Pernia Law Group. Of course, you probably know by now, Artie's a UCLA grad who's rolling up his sleeves, going to work for you whenever you need him to. And we invite you to get in touch and make sure that he's your guy. He can walk you through all the basic insurance 101 stuff, but also just let you know what you need to know, the best type of insurance coverage to have, and why protecting yourself is such a great idea, and why when you're injured on premises, you probably need to call Artie first and not anybody else. So make sure you go to plglaw.com. You will get preferential treatment as a UCLA Bruin person. Now, speaking of UCLA Bruin people, a guy with a new 6-year contract to stay a UCLA Bruin. Here is Mick Cronin.
I'm looking to see exactly which tunnel, but there he comes. All right, we literally, with 1 second on the clock, Mick has made his way. He's coming courtside, and we're only going to have a couple minutes with him. We're going to explain that to him here. I'm sure he'll know the drill, but we didn't want to leave without the opportunity to say thanks and hello, at least, to Mick Cronin. Here he comes. And Mick, I know this is unusual. We're going to keep you for exactly 2 minutes here. We just didn't want to let you leave the building without saying congratulations. What a heck of an effort by your guys.
Guys performed today. Obviously, they started the game 6-for-9. We picked up our defensive intensity. They're 14-for-40 the rest of the way, which is, 30-31%. So from that point on, our defense was great. Rob Palmer, great job with the scouting report, defensive game plan. He's an elite coach. It took our guys a while to adjust all the switching we were doing because we haven't done it. That's how I played it at Cincinnati all the time, with the switching.
Yeah.
We haven't done it at UCLA as much. So once our guys adjusted to that defensively, we got in a rhythm, and we were fronting the post as well. They hurt us a little when they got it in against the switch, but it just threw their rhythm off. We did not want them to be able to run their offense. Cousy's such a maestro in the pick and roll. We just wanted to take that away from them, Tracy.
Yeah, I think when Tiger and I think Jaime went to the basket and got fouled, but they made the basket and there was a no call, I think a switch went off in everybody's mind about how aggressive to play, because that's when everything turned around. The defense picked up, and then it was elementary from there.
Yeah, they're definitely letting if you didn't chop a guy, you could body him all you want.
Yeah.
And they adjusted.
Right.
But what we had a little talk about what happened against Akron. I think, Josh, you mentioned 4 for 22 from in the paint.
Yes.
It's like I told the guys, like, look, you got to perform. You've worked your whole life to be on this stage. This is the one time of year where everybody's watching it.
Right.
You got to get your mind right. And Cody, you can score, man. It's time to do it.
Right.
Johnny, it's time to do it. Now, Jules and Tiger and Jaime have been doing it. But it's time to perform and finish around the rim. It's time to knock down shots, shoot with confidence. And Peyton Watson's given us every game, it's just a little bit more and more, because as he's taking easy shots, he's not over dribbling. The more he can play, we become more athletic, which helps us.
Yep.
And it'll really help. We don't know if Jaime, we don't play till Friday. We all know we're used to playing without a guy. We've done it all year.
Right.
And we know if Jaime can walk, he'll try to play.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so now the Bruins indeed, go and play the North Carolina Tar Heels. This was a game that was supposed to have happened earlier, got COVIDed out. Now they'll get that opportunity. Don't want to say that things are clearing out, because obviously North Carolina is very good. But from there, you look around and the one seed is already out. The 2 seed is already out. No Baylor, no Kentucky. So St. Peter's has gone in as a 15 seed in that bracket. It's wide open out there in Philadelphia. And the Bruins will tie on the bib and grab a fork and a knife and say, let's go. Taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels. So much history there. Two great programs on a Friday night in Philadelphia. That's going to do it this time. And we appreciate you tuning in as always. Josh Lewin for Tracy Murray. We say four is up, and congratulations to a Sweet 16-bound UCLA Bruins basketball team. Take care.